Pat, it has come to my attention that one of our listeners thinks that you have soccer mom mentality.
What?
Yeah, soccer mom mentality, you know.
Could that be because I'm a mom and I have 3.2 kids and I live in the suburb?
But you don't.
I know, none of that's true.
You're single and you're 40, I won't say.
Okay, so all right, this person thinks I have a, so what? I mean, he's wrong. Let's move on.
The person also said that I was the obvious leader of this podcast.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Actually, when I think about it, I completely agree.
What?
And in the, because I care about this show so much, I have to make a change.
Wait a second. You the leader?
Yeah.
I think we're teammates here. stop laughing.
Oh, that's funny. Anyways, I need to make a lineup change. And Pat, you're out of here.
What?
Go.
What do you mean I'm out of here?
That's it, baby. We've had a good run, but we got to stop.
Get your hands off me. What are you doing?
Get out.
Stop.
Get out.
Stop.
Get out right now.
No, I'm not going.
Go.
Ah.
Man, that was harder than I thought. Okay. Who can I get to do this show with me? Luckily, I have Susan here. Hey. All right. Let's get this started. Get the mic on. It's the weekend of June 11th, 2005. I'm Jeff.
This is Susan.
And you're listening to Cruisin' and Bruisin' with Jeff and Susan.
I'm not taking this sitting down.
Pat, what is that? You gotta...
This is not happening.
You don't have a gun. You don't like it. You're not a gun person. Put it down. Susan, oh my God, what did you do? Oh my God. Pat, you must really love podcasting.
I do.
All right, get back in here. Let's call the paramedics and see if we can revive Susan. It was one of those searing hot days in Dallas, the kind of day where the heat reflecting from the pavement hits you in the crotch and says, "Wake up, Mr. Star, you've got work to do." As you're walking out of the dark bar with sunglasses on, where you just put the shine on a fella who needed to be taught a lesson. I was sitting in my office when she walked in without so much as a knock on my steel-plated door.
Are you podcast star?
This gal had a...
Don't call me gal.
This skirt had an uncanny way of knowing just what I was thinking. Podcast star is the name I use when I'm not using my other names. Mr. Star will do. She had on a tight little Audrey Hepburn dress, you know, the one from Breakfast at Tiffany. The kind that can make a man swoon after closing time, but before five causes one to remember a certain affair 10 years ago that ended in teary goodbyes, false hopes, and broken dreams. Dreams plundered in a fortnight of gin and cheap jazz joints. But I digress.
Mr. Star, I'm Molly Evans of the Evans Broadcasting Conglomerate, and I've been told you're the best.
Well, Miss Evans, if that's your real name, the best is a relative term that is used when someone wants something that you are not prepared to give up without a fight.
Well, I've been told that you're that good. You have a nice office here.
Cut with the baloney, Ms. Evans. Either you have come here to talk about my office and clean it like it's never been cleaned before, especially those dust bunnies underneath the file cabinet, or you have come to talk business. I'm not cheap, and you're on the clock.
Money is no concern, Mr. Star. I've got plenty of podcast money. Just ask my band leader, Jimmy Sutherland.
The doll had class, I'll say that. She knew what a man wanted to hear and what a man desperately needed. The sweet, sweet scent of green. A green more vibrant than a freshly manicured golf course, smelling of morning dew, laced with an unmistakable whiff of martini. Dry with a twist. Well, now that that is settled, what can I do for you?
I want you to tail my man. I think he's up to no good.
Tail your man? I don't like what that term implies, Ms. Evans. I'm an established member of the heterosexual union.
Ooh, I'm glad that your member is established, Mr. Star. But I want you to follow him and tell me what he's doing.
What do you suspect?
I run one of the largest podcasts in the country, and you may know it, the This and That Podcast, and...
This and That Podcast. I've heard tell of this show and this new technology, but I've never been so close to this kind of greatness.
I think he's running off and doing guest appearances and with other podcasters.
All right. Cut the dramatics, sweetheart. Guest appearances, you say, huh? Well, why don't you collect yourself and go down to the corner 7-Eleven and get yourself one of their new gourmet sandwiches? I've heard they're quite good. And a hot cup of joe. I'll meet you there in about 35 to 40 minutes. I've got some, research to do. Yes, research indeed. Now, where can I put my iPod?
Please stand by.
It's the weekend of June 11th, 2005. I'm Jeff.
And I'm Pat.
And you're listening to This and That with Jeff and Pat, show number 17. Hey, Pat.
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
I'm great. How was your week?
Well, it's been good.
Fantastic. We had a week of love.
We did.
You know, we did our little love podcasting style show last week. And I think it paid off because we got a lot of love this week.
What'd we get?
Well, the first thing was our friend Len from Jawbone Radio, that's jawboneradio.blogspot.com, drew a caricature of our This and That logo.
That was cute.
It was very cute. You know, he did it in about 30 minutes, and what I really liked about it is he didn't just make a caricature of it, but he added like sort of a bit of our personalities from our website into the caricature.
Although I'm not sure I like the hairy face caricature of mine. Has he seen me? Does he know about my beard?
Yes, he does. I told him. I told him about it, actually. So,
Can our listeners see that?
They can see that on our blog at thisandthatpodcast.com. And if you haven't checked out the blog, you should. It's pretty cool. Well, I don't know if it's cool, but we think it's cool. I wanted to make a quick shout-out to Kevin. Kevin is uses Mac and Safari browser, which I don't have, and he noticed that our website was not compatible on that browser, and he wrote us and let us know, and he even articulated so far to say exactly what was happening. I was able to find the problem, and he also offered to test our website out on the Mac in the future. So that's podcasting love.
Well,
thanks.
I have to say this next comment, it's for Danny. My response to Kevin helping you is he hot?
I don't know. Kevin, maybe you'll have to send in a picture for Pat. Just kidding. Podcast Pickle, Gary, our bud Gary.
Hi, Gary.
Selected us as the featured podcast of the week on Podcast Pickle. So that's lots of love, man.
Thank you very much. So what'd you do yesterday, Jeff?
What did I do yesterday? I went to the Dallas Downtown Arts Festival. And I also went to a restaurant that I hadn't been to in a long time that I'll talk about in the Dallas Minute.
Oh, okay.
How about you?
Well, Susan and I went to go see Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Oh, the new Brad Pitt Angelina Jolie movie. How was it?
It was great. And, well, as you know, I'm not a big fan of action movies, first of all. And
right.
I typically don't go to them. But I was torn because I love Brad Pitt so much.
Torn between two lovers. Is that what you were
torn? I wish I were. No, I was torn because I don't like action movies, but I love Brad Pitt. But we went anyway because we decided that seeing a movie with some very attractive people, doesn't matter what the movie's about, we were going to go. So I thought the movie had some good action. The plot line was very, very thin, but you almost don't really care about it. I mean, it is action. They look good. They've got a couple of really good lines. I did find myself occasionally thinking, wow, this is a lot of blowing up of things and a lot of shooting in it. I kind of, I had some sense of like, this is a lot of violence.
Well, and I thought you were into shooting, given the top of the show thing, man.
Well, anyway, it was a cute movie. I enjoyed it. I wouldn't go see it again, but I recommend it.
Okay. There you go. Listen to Pat. We're new in movie reviews now.
I don't know what the New Yorker said about it, so, you know,
yeah.
It's just my opinion.
Well, all right.
And I am a sucker mom.
All right.
Oy.
My friends have many things that I am
So another interesting thing happened to me this week. A couple of times, Jeff, during the week, I had one of the directors at It's Just Lunch give me a call.
Really?
Yes. It's been, I think I've been with them over a year now. And technically speaking, you know, it's a yearly thing. So,
They want you to re-up, huh?
Well, I don't know what it is. I think it's kind of interesting that I've been with them this long and I've never spoken to a director other than the first time when I signed up. Now, all of a sudden, she's calling me up. She must think, you know, ooh, I got to get some way to, I got to figure out how to get some money from this chick.
Absolutely.
So, and my next date is on Wednesday. If any of you people live in Dallas and you want to come scope it out, I'm supposed to meet them at where? Palomino's? I don't even know where that is.
Palomino's, is that in Uptown?
I don't know.
Oh, no, Uptown's in New York.
So anyway, you guys, it's at noon. You can come stalk us and give me, you know, I'll put my telephone. You can write me an email message if you're going to come. I'll send you my cell number. So if I get out there and he's a really dog, you can call me and save me from the bad date.
Better yet, why don't you bring your microphone and have a podcast date?
There you go. Anyway,
I think our listeners would love that.
The thing is that soon this It's Just Lunch thing is going to run out on me, and I'm not planning to renew it because I don't feel like they're providing me any value, and they're very, very expensive. So
yeah.
I was thinking about maybe going the Match.com route again.
A lot cheaper.
Yes, it's a lot cheaper. You've done that before, haven't you, Jeff?
I've done that off and on, probably for the last 7 years or so.
Yeah, and?
And it's generally been pretty good. I mean, I've met some interesting people. I haven't been active on it lately at all, but yeah. I mean, I thought it was pretty decent. You meet a lot of weirdos, you know. You just do. People don't often, well, they present, in their defense, they present themselves what they think they are in their profile. And a lot of times the profile and the actual person don't really match up so well, you know. But I think some people are out there to be malicious. I've heard stories about the guys. I think the women are a little more honest typically. But I think a lot of it is just you put your best face forward on a profile and you maybe write some things that you wish you were. You know, like a lot of profiles say, I love doing this, that, this, the other thing, this, that, and then you talk to them and they don't really do any of that. They're like waiting for somebody to do that stuff with.
Oh,
so,
right.
You know, it's kind of like, well, okay, you're really not that passionate about it. You're just saying stuff to sound interesting, I guess.
Well, if I recall correctly, back in your day, you used to have so many chicks that Susan and I, and I think Wei Xing, we couldn't keep track of them, so we just gave them monikers. Like, I remember there was Dirty Talk Girl.
Dirty Talk Girl. There was like 2 or 3 years where I went through a lot of women.
And what about the time you went out with that woman that was, this wasn't through Match.com, though, I don't think. She had a gun or wasn't, what's the deal with that?
I had gone to her apartment and she had proceeded into the bedroom and there was a lump in the bedroom. and there was a freaking gun, man. And I just wasn't into
it. Wait. There was a lump in the bedroom. I thought that meant that was your, you know, down in your crotchal area.
Well, that too.
But no, so you were in bed with her and...
Well, we were just like approaching the bed, you know,
yeah.
And then I felt this lump and I goes, what?
Where was this lump? At the base of the, at the foot of the bed?
Kind of. It was under the covers, probably about halfway down, always there for ready access.
So you were sitting on her bed when you felt it?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
And
so what exactly happened?
She was an FBI agent.
Uh-huh.
That was her deal. So, well, you know, after a while, I ignored the gun. I mean, there was more goodies to get, so. but I didn't like it. I didn't see her again because the gun still kind of freaked me out, you know. I just don't like being that close to a gun. I'm not a weapon kind of guy.
Well, I still remember the Dirty Talk Girl, though. We didn't talk much about her a few minutes ago, but I remember you saying she wanted you to talk dirty to her, right?
All the time. All the time. And it was a horrible pressure. I mean, it sounds, all the guys are out there saying, yeah, that's so cool. But, man, it is cool. It's cool like the first 30 minutes. But there's this pressure to perform. And I don't mean sexual performance. I mean oral performance from a dirty talk perspective. And, you know, I only got so much material.
Well, I know you remember we all came up with the idea that we'd all put, you know, things that you should say and
little
put them post-its on post-its.
On the headboard. Well, the thing that was frustrating is... I can do a pretty good dirty talk rap for maybe 15 minutes or so, but then basically I'm repeating myself.
Oh,
yeah, honey, I want to, you know, do this, whatever. And I felt like such an idiot repeating lines.
No,
what else do people do?
That's what I do. I repeat the lines. I don't care.
Yeah,
I say the same thing again and again and again.
Well, every time I would see her, you know, I had a date, I would like think hours ahead. Okay, I got to take a pen and pencil, and I got to think of some really original ways to sort of make metaphors of what I want to do. And I guess metaphors aren't dirty, but
they have websites that teach you how to talk dirty.
No, they didn't have it back in the day.
I bet they did.
Maybe they did. There was a crew of women.
Were other chicks. What were some of the other ones?
What were some of the other girls' names? Taka chick.
Taka chick.
No, Taka chick.
She was in some kind of arts or something.
The charity
like that.
Called Taka. There was Fluffy.
Fluffy.
Remember Fluffy?
No, I don't remember Fluffy.
A friend of Priscilla's. Yeah, Fluffy.
Why did she get called Fluffy?
No one knew that people call these girls that except
of
us.
Of course, right.
Because she just had this kind of fluffy personality. I don't know. It's hard to describe. I can't remember.
I'm not sure I was ever blessed with having so many men in my life that we had to actually give them fake names.
We gave them fake names is because all my friends would want, you know, learn their names, but then they would come and go. So he's like, well, I'm not going to bother with that. But that only happened for like a 3-year period of my life. I mean, in general, it's been a little bit more normal than that.
Well, the other thing I tried, though, was a guy in my office told me about an article, and I think it was the Washington Post, that geeks make better lovers. So I went onto the internet and tried to find out, you know, maybe I need to be searching more for geeks. So I did find this one. I found the article, and they talked about a website called Geek to Geek, and it's meant for geeks. So
geek love.
I just decided to say, well, what would happen if I wanted to look for a geek?
Sure.
So I put in the ages 35 to 40 in Dallas, maybe 20 miles from me. And I think two guys came up.
That's all the geeks?
Yes. One of the two guys is already married.
Oh, boy. Some
perfect,
geekette
huh?
got her.
And the other guy, I don't know. I think he didn't sound very appealing. So that was kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
But they have 10 reasons why geeks make better lovers, and one of them is geeks are faithful. And I was thinking, they must not be faithful. This guy's married, and he's looking for other geeks.
Must not be too faithful.
Do you think he's looking just for a pal to play on his Xbox?
Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Maybe it's somebody to exchange HTML with, XML. That's silly.
I'm coming up with not a whole lot here.
Yeah.
Although then there was that young woman that was a friend of yours who was going to school in that engineering place. What school was that?
University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee.
Yeah, yeah. She sent me a private email message. I don't know if I ever told you about it, Jeff. She told me that she had a guy she wanted me to meet, and his name is Patrick.
Ooh, Pat and Pat. Kind of like Paris and Paris. You could be the Paris and Paris of Dallas and Milwaukee.
Exactly. I think he's getting a PhD in electrical engineering.
Smart.
Yes.
And
I
electrical
like
engineering,
part.
A little bit nerdy.
Yes, very
perfect.
Nerdy. Yeah, he's, I don't know, 24, 26, something
young,
like that.
Perfect.
That's the problem. Yes, perfect.
How's his hairline?
He looked cute. I figured if Tom Cruise can go out with Katie Holmes, I can go out with Patrick, the PhD engineer.
Hey, Pat, this is Brad P. from New Jersey in the Whole Lot of Nonsense podcast. I'm calling because I was just doing my news searches online and came up with a news report that the House Appropriations Subcommittee of Labor and HHS apparently oversees the Corporation for Public Broadcasting Funding, and they're actually looking to kill funding for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting over the next 2 years. So See, next year they're going to drop by 25%. The year after that, they'll drop another 50 or 75, and then apparently they kill it in the third year, meaning that basically all of Corporation for Public Broadcasting's funding for NPR and PBS would be sliced to the bone, gone 100% in 3 years. If there's anything that you guys can do to help let people know that we need to keep the media free and diverse, so at least people who aren't listening to podcasts have a choice of media and information. I realize that we may annoy FERG by talking about non-libertarian issues and, you know, encouraging public funding for something like this, but I think this is something the government has actually done a fairly good job of in running the CPB over the years, and I'd like to see it continue to be there so that we can still have a free and diverse media, because we're sort of, you know, we're all annoyed that there's this infotainment world out there, and for those of us who like to listen to podcasts but also like to watch some good PBS stuff and listen to some good NPR things, are hoping that NPR starts podcasting. They can't do it without money, and, you know, your taxes already go to pay for all kinds of stuff, and for the cost of, you know, 2.5 F-22 Raptors, you can fully fund the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and ensure democracy at home as well as democracy abroad. So hopefully that wasn't too long a ramble, but anything you guys can do to help spread the word, I know I'd appreciate it. My kids would appreciate it. My wife would appreciate it. My dog actually likes watching nature shows. I hope that everybody there is doing well. And thanks, guys. Bye.
Well, thanks, Brad. I don't know how much we have to say. You said it all, but we will talk a little bit about it, especially for your dog. That's who really, you know, most concerned about it. But thanks a lot. It is an interesting issue. Pat, you've got some thoughts on it.
Yeah, I do have some thoughts on that. I'm a big I don't know all the details about how the Center for Public Broadcasting, is that what it's set up for?
Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
I don't know those relationships with PBS and NPR. So, you know, all I can say is I have a couple of thoughts, not the least of which is I really like PBS and NPR, and I think it would be a shame if those shows went away. I also wonder, I am a free market person. I'm just not the biggest free market person out there. The idea I would have is, well, if the government quit funding it, then would it still survive? The idea, I suppose it's supposed to be, if it doesn't survive, then that means there aren't enough people out there that want to support it, and it shouldn't be surviving. And if it does survive, well, then great. You know, the feds can spend their money on other things that we, the people, prefer, you know.
Well, you know, I think a lot of the programs will still survive, because I think they only typically would get maybe 20% of their funding from, you know, the government sources. They get the rest from private.
I think
it's more than that.
No, I think I read something that there were smaller stations, like those in Alaska.
Yeah,
that
I saw that
desperately
too.
desperately need their money, and it would have an effect. So maybe some station like KERA wouldn't be affected at all, because there's a lot of
donors
and stuff
like that. But those with not a big listener base would fall by the wayside.
And there's a big difference in the public radio we have here in Dallas, and then, say, for example, in Huntsville, Alabama, where my parents live. When I go there, I always feel bummed out, because they play mainly classical music. They have a couple of hours. They have All Things Considered.
Same with my parents' hometown,
Morning
too.
Edition, All Things Considered, maybe Click and Clack. But then after that, it's all classical music. Why? Because classical music is cheaper.
And it's locally produced, I think.
Right.
And it's cheap. Yeah.
So.
You know, I agree. Free market is definitely worthwhile here. The problem I have is that the free market has not been great with media. And I don't know where this is going, and maybe it's just a temporary thing, but I look at CNN and Fox. These are shows I don't watch at home, but the news channels, they're always on at my company's break room, and they're always talking about non-news, and they're interviewing people about non-news. And the reason that they do it is because they're doing it for ratings. They run corporations, and they have to be responsible businessmen. They have to meet stockholders' expectations. Those expectations are short-term. The expectations are not public interest.
Right.
I know there's good media outlets out there. I don't mean to diss them all. But there is some conflict here about free market versus what is good journalism and good for the country. I had Josh, our intern Josh, do a little bit of research for me, and I found out the following. The budget, the CPB budget, is $400 million. So the first year they're looking to cut it by a fourth, that's to $300 million. What that budget represents is the median income in the U.S. is about $43,000. The average tax percentage burden is 17%. If you calculate that out, you get about $7,400 the average tax return. Okay, so you know where I'm going with this. The CPB budget today represents $1.26 per year on everybody's tax return. Now, that's not much. And let's put it in perspective. The military today uses about 23.65% of the whole budget. In order to keep the CPB, they would need to increase their efficiency by 0.07%. Now, the healthcare is about 12.64%. They would need to increase their efficiency by 0.14% in order to retain the money for the CPB. The point is, all these agencies go into their budget discussions every year with, you know, goals of gaining efficiency by 5 to 10%, not 0.14. So it's kind of a no-brainer. This is a political issue. It has nothing to do with budget money,
because right.
The money is squat.
So it's a little bit like me going into my Quicken and saying, gee, where can I cut out, how can I save money? And then saying, well, maybe what I can do is cut out that 10 cents I spend every day getting blah, 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 getting a piece of candy, instead of figuring out that, well, what I really should do is start mowing my own yard for, and that's going to save me $150 a month.
This is the pressure on the Republicans from the right wing people that got them voted, because one station mentioned lesbian a couple times. That's what it all comes down to. Ooh, they don't like any reference to lesbian or homosexuals, because we can't support that.
No. Well, it's pretty clear. I think all of that stuff is the sign of the depravity of American society. So we have to squash it now.
And if we go, you know, CNN, in my prior example, when it came out, I thought this was such a good station. 24 hours of really good news. If we go the route of CNN for all of our stuff, we're going to be a dumber nation, not a smarter one. You know, and you know, you guys, you listeners, you know that is so freaking true. So, you know, it's a piddly. You can make the argument the government shouldn't support this stuff. Okay, yeah, maybe. Well, my argument is it's not money, it's political. But I really do appreciate Brad P.
And it's not saving that much money, yes.
No.
Anyway, thank you, Brad P. I appreciate that, too.
Well, Pat, I got a few things that I kind of culled from the news this week that I thought was interesting. The first one is Google mapping. Have you been to Maps Google yet?
Oh, I've tried very hard to see what my house looked like. I was not very successful. Tell me more.
Well, they've got the satellite imagery, and they've got great maps. Now, in San Francisco, they're starting this thing. They've got a mapping truck. Okay, this truck is going to go up and down every street in San Francisco and eventually every major city in the U.S. with lasers.
Yeah.
And they're trying to get every single building, every single profile, so that they have got electronic maps of a city in three dimensions.
Wow, that's cool.
Now, it's cool, but what's the business model?
I was going to ask you, what's that for? What could happen?
I don't know. The article didn't really go into it. They're like, wow, look how cool we are. Now, the problem with these trucks is that apparently if a human being or something else gets in the way of the laser, it doesn't work. So the guys at Stanford University are trying to figure that one out, because they want to take this truck through every street once, not twice, not three times. So, but I don't know what the business value of it is except to say we're cool, we're geeky, go to our maps, we're really into local stuff. I think that's more, you know, PR than anything else.
Well, you never know about this kind of stuff, because I think I was reading about that Google mapping, how one of the things that they've done is they are using it to help track sexual predators. I forget exactly how they're doing it, but there was a relationship between information from, I think it was maybe a Chicago police database and some Google mapping and some stuff that they were doing.
Wow, now that's pretty cool. If they can get that down. And maybe the 3D is to say, well, the perpetrator's on floor 8. Let's go zoom into his room. I don't know, man.
It was nerds, by the way, that put that stuff together.
Nerds, they're always doing it. And they're looking for dates. All right. I'm not going to tell you the name of the city where this next little short thing happened. But in about 6 months, there is a major city, I shouldn't say major city, middle tier city that will present an exhibit about creationism.
Uh-huh.
The board voted 3-1 in order for us to have a display. One of the residents said, this is a big victory. It's a matter of fairness. To not include the creationist view would be discrimination in a freaking zoo.
Is this in Kansas?
No, but you're close.
Uh-huh.
The city.
Oklahoma.
Yes. And what city?
Oklahoma City.
No.
Tulsa?
Tulsa.
Oh, my God.
Tulsa, Oklahoma. So I thought that was a little bit, it's getting nuts out there, folks. We've reported on this before, but it's getting nuts. Strap on your seatbelt.
They had an article about intelligent, I think they call it intelligent design, in the New Yorker, and I need to read it. I think I skimmed through it, so I don't have anything to report on it right now.
What is intelligent design?
Intelligent design, I think, is the theory that is in contrast to evolution, and it says, it basically says that I think this is what it says, that most of what humanity is what people are, is too complicated to have been created by evolution. It needed an intelligent architect to do it.
And so they're giving me credit. I love this.
As a matter of fact, I do think I saw your name in there.
I don't doubt it. I am often credited for creating the world.
All right. So,
because
anyway.
I am the leader.
Shut up.
All right. The other thing that you may not appreciate this. Actually, you with your historical interest would, but Bach, they freaking discovered an aria that's never been heard by Bach from 1713. They found it in like some drawer of an old cabinet. I just can't think of anything cooler than that. I really want to hear it, and I can't wait for some, you know.
Well, who did they say discovered it?
I don't know. The article didn't say.
Huh, interesting. Well, when will we get to hear it?
I don't know that either. You know, it's a good question. Maybe they, I think, probably musicians are looking at it, and maybe it was in the drawer for a reason. You know, maybe it was really shitty.
Ooh, maybe it was in the drawer of a lover of his.
Ooh, maybe he wrote it for a lover.
Maybe.
And he was a big, big Bible guy.
Oh, he was?
It could have been a scandal.
Well, let me tell you.
But I don't want to diss Bach, man.
Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you don't have a lover.
Doesn't mean you don't like getting it on the side. No, I don't want to diss Bach, man. And Bach is so good. But a new aria. That's so cool.
But I thought opera singers sang arias.
Well, I'm a little confused. He really didn't write opera. He didn't write operas, definitely. But he wrote, he did write songs. So I don't know why they call it an aria. Normally, when you hear the word aria, it's associated with a solo in an opera. So. Okay, finally, in my little short bits, I saw this a couple.
I don't think we should talk about your genitals, Jeff.
Oh, okay. Finally, in my long bits. I saw this like about 2 or 3 months ago, and I remember thinking, that's what I thought. I thought, and I put it in the Jeff filing cabinet in the brain.
Yeah.
And it got lost. Kind of like Box Aria. So luckily, I happened upon an article again, because this is happening next month. NASA is taking a exploder device and measuring thing, whatever, and they're going to run it as fast as they possibly can and blow up a satellite that's coming close to Earth. They're not going to blow up the satellite. The satellite is like 7 miles long, so they're just going to make a dent in it. But all they're going to do, the value is uncertain to me. All they're going to do is make a little chip in it. And apparently in the 24 hours before it hits, they're going to have a bunch of measuring devices. So apparently they're going to learn just more about these comets. I think it's cool, and it's happening, scheduled for July 4th, and they're going to have cameras all over, like outer space cameras, looking at this thing. But I think it's funny. When I first saw it 2 months ago, I thought, is this like, you know, the movie Deep Impact, where, was it Deep Impact?
I don't know.
I remember, where the satellite was heading towards America, and Bruce Willis and his daughter had to go up.
They used a slingshot?
Yeah, and they had to go up and blow it up. And he ends up sacrificing himself. It was the stupidest movie.
I missed it.
You didn't miss anything. But I was thinking, you know, maybe what they're not telling us is that this satellite's really, you know, coming at us and
there
they're trying to veer the
it.
Path. Maybe, you know, who knows? Maybe. But probably not. But certainly doing experimenting. But I couldn't help but think, how cool is it to work for NASA?
Oh.
You know, it's like being 10 years old and building a little rocket outside. I'm going to blow up something really, really big.
I think, you know, people like to blow up stuff, so.
Oh, it's a perfect job for anybody that wants to blow up stuff.
We probably as taxpayers need to look into this because I think they're doing it more for fun than for science.
Well, Comet and Impactor each are going to be going 23,000 miles per hour at each other, full blast.
Mm.
The explosion could yield some 19 gigajoules worth. I say that like that's a lot, but I really have no idea what that is.
Gigajoules.
It's a gigajoule. Okay, the equivalent of 5 tons of TNT. Oh, this is what I got in my basement. So anyways, July 4th, you know, it's coming. Let's get groovy.
It's on a perfect date, too.
I know. Well, it's the time.
It's that time.
It's the time for the Dallas Minute.
Well, let me go first,
you
Jeff.
Can go first.
I don't really...
Because you're the leader.
Because I'm the leader. I wasn't really sure if the Dallas Minute was supposed to be representative of something unique about Dallas or not. And I just decided this is the Dallas Minute can be whatever I want it
it's
to be.
It's our rules, baby.
It's our rules.
Podcast.
So... I have been driving up and down Northwest Highway for many, many years
but
now.
But Northwest Highway goes east and west.
Mm.
So up and down, I think not.
Anyway,
go backwards and forwards.
Something that I noticed, I finally decided to take a much closer look at, was this place where it's called Viva Mexico. It's over there on Northwest Highway, just near where Lemon intersects.
Okay.
And I think it's a drive-in alcohol store. And what they do is they have a little booth where they have generally one or two scantily clad women sitting in the booth.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
I just think it's such a trip that they actually have a place that you can drive up and get your beer and wine
it's
and all that stuff.
It's even more classic that they have sexy chicks that you buy it from.
Well, they're not exactly... They're scantily clad.
Okay.
I didn't say sexy for a reason. They're scantily clad.
Oh,
and let's leave it at that.
Oh,
but anyway, it's interesting.
Wow. Well, I went to a restaurant, Pat, that I haven't been to in probably 10 to 12 years, and it's so close to my house, it's ridiculous. We used to go there all the time, and it is called the Blue Goose.
Oh!
And I don't know why I haven't been there. I think we just Blue Goosed out when we were younger, because that was a place where all young people go. You start off getting margaritas and Tex-Mex there, and then you go to the bars around Greenville. But we went there yesterday, kind of late afternoon, and I had a great meal. It was really, really good. I had a chicken...
Enchilada?
No, it was a pepper thing. What's my favorite kind of pepper? I can't think of the
jalapeno?
Name.
Jalapeno?
No, not jalapeno.
Mm. Anyway,
it was incredibly tender. Everything was good. The service was good at the end. It could have been a little bit better at the beginning of it. They had one waitress that was doing both the outside patio and the inside, so she was a bit busy. They probably had some problems staffing. But
was it crowded?
Well, it was like 3 o'clock when we got there. It's kind of an off time. The patio was still very crowded.
Where were you sitting?
We sat inside because we wanted some air conditioning, and that wasn't so crowded. But it seems to be still a happening place. Sundays, of course, they really play up the being the biker bar thing.
Oh.
But it's still a good place. It's
cool.
Fun. It's got a nice vibe, and I enjoyed it. So.
Well, I also have more to talk about 7-Eleven.
Ah.
Yes. 7-Eleven. Thank heaven. 7-Eleven. Thank heaven. It's time for that 7-Eleven update. I went into 7-Eleven maybe Tuesday of this week or so, and when I walked in, this is going to sound so dorky, but it's true. I noticed something new there, and I gasped out loud. I went like this.
God.
It was an Almond Joy cappuccino.
Wow.
Oh, my God. So I tasted it, and it is yummy, yummy, yummy.
I got love.
If you like Almond Joy, this cappuccino is to die for. I'm sure it's a bazillion calories. So get the small size, unless you don't mind being big. But
it
was good.
Half a zillion calories.
Half a zillion calories. And then the other thing, I did not notice this. An alert listener who gave us some love last week noticed this. because Eric M. sent me an email message to tell me that at 7-Elevens, they have Slurpees with specially marked glasses that you can use to win an iTunes song. And I think you also get a bid or whatever into a winning a Mini Cooper.
Wow.
So I went and bought one, and at the 7-Eleven I went to, they had one of the Slurpee flavors was a sugar-free one. So I got that. It was a mango passion or something like that. And I came over to your house with it yesterday, Jeff.
Yeah.
And today, I don't think you noticed this, but I decided to see, you know, ooh, do I have a specially marked container or not? And sure enough, I think all of them, if you buy the drink, you're going to win a song.
Really?
So
it's a good deal.
The problem was, I did it on your computer, so you have a free song now.
I do?
Yes.
Yay is me. Hey, do more of that. That's cool. I love this promotion. I don't do a thing and I just get songs.
Well, anyway, thank you, Eric, for that suggestion. It was great.
All right. Well, I think that's going to do the show for this week. Pat, it's been fun, as usual.
As usual.
And, you know, don't forget to please show us some more love. Vote for us at Podcast Alley. We do appreciate it. And vote for the other podcasts that you like, too.
And stay tuned for next week. You'll get to hear about my last date.
Ooh.
On It's Just Lunch.
The last date. And we may have a celebrity interview as well. Visit the website at www.thisandthatpodcast.com. Or give us a holler. Give us a call. 206-202-TALK. That's 206-202-8255. And we are out of here.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
We'll be right back.